This week, Mayor Dennis Archer of Detroit lifted a lid that led to the past. The city of Detroit unearthed and opened a 10-pound copper box that had been sealed over on January 1, 1901. 60 people from a Detroit that had just 300,000 residents, many of them working in shipbuilding because the Ford Motor Company hadn't been founded yet, were invited to address a personal letter to city leaders of a century hence, expressing their hopes, confiding their fears, making prophecies and projections. Maud Lyon is the former director of the Detroit Historical Museum and joins us from Detroit. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And give us some idea, if you could, of the range of things that you found in the box.
There are all kinds of letters from different people. There's a general prophecy for Detroit as a metropolis by James Scripps, who was the founder of the Detroit News and what became the Scripps-Howard newspaper chain. There's several letters about city government, including a penny from the city finance director.
So I bet it counted for rather more in those days, didn't it?
Well, it probably did, and it was a 1900 penny. It was new.
Uh-huh.
There's several letters on ethnic heritage. There's four about women, two about the American mother in Detroit and the American mother in the 19th century, one on the growth of the women's club movement, and one on women's suffrage. There's books. There's letters on the arts, on religion, and there's the signature of a Captain Francis Martin, who was the oldest man in Detroit in 1900, who was born in June 1800 and had lived in three centuries as of 1901.
Oh my! Now, was this the man who witnessed the burial of Napoleon on Elba?
Yes. That's what his card and his signature also said, that he had signed it without glasses.
Were there any predictions that struck you as either unerringly accurate or uncannily inane?
I think one of them that's interesting is James Scripps predicted that the population of Detroit would be over 4 million, and he's right, we're at 4.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
He also predicted that there would be a system of canals constructed that, reading from his letter, connecting the Great Lakes with the Atlantic, so in a few decades.
Oh, the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Right.
Which wasn't until the 50s, as I
recall. Interesting enough, there's no prediction about the automobile.
Well, they were to make up for lost time in Detroit, weren't they?
Well, it just goes to show that you can't predict all of the future, and you can't see how things have changed. There's a part of Mayor Mayberry's letter that is particularly charming. He talks about how the past has taught us that what seemed so impossible has already been accomplished, and we would therefore not be greatly surprised at greater accomplishments in the future. And then he goes on to say, "We communicate by telephone and telegraph over distances that at the opening of the 19th century were insurmountable. We talk by long-distance telephone to the remotest cities in our own country and with a fair degree of practical success. Are you talking to foreign lands and to the islands of the sea by the same method?"
Oh, my. It is an extraordinary letter to read. I gather there was at least one letter that presciently understood that race was going to be a significant factor in Detroit history.
Yes, the letter was from Augustus Straker, who was a Wayne County Circuit Court Commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
The population of African Americans in Detroit was about 2% of the total population in 1900. Mm-hmm. They were very well educated. They'd been in Detroit since the 18th century, some of them, so longtime residents. And he writes in his letter that he hopes that the sunlight of a more perfect understanding will drive out the demon prejudice.
So nothing in there about Hank Greenberg.
No, and the Tigers, of course, were founded in, as was the American League, in 1901. They're
right.
Celebrating their centennial this year.
I have to ask, Ms. Lyon, sometimes municipalities bury time capsules and then can't find them.
Well, they were very clever. They didn't bury this one.
Mm-hmm.
What they did was to put it in the vault of the city treasurer and listed it as an asset in the city books. So generations of city treasurers have had as their charge to maintain this box and take care of it, and I'm sure they've been curious for all of this time what was in that box.
Well, Ms. Lyon, thank you very much for sharing all of that with us.
Thanks.
Maud Lyon is the executive director of Detroit 300.